Welcome to episode 33, How to Prepare for Approaching Investors.
Welcome to the PR Playbook Podcast with Ranjini Joshua, the only podcast that teaches you how to strategically navigate the world of public relations and social media and grow a powerful brand.
Hello and welcome to episode 33. It's not that easy to ask for funding, and you have to be prepared to develop your business plan, answer and ask the right questions, know if you're ready to actually approach investors. So I reached out to our friend, Johnny Lamb, VP of Business Development at Scale Health in Los Angeles, to see if he can give us some insights on asking the right questions, answering the right questions when you go into meetings with potential investors, and any other tips he can give us as you're building your startup and trying to grow, especially in an era where things might be a little bit more complicated than usual. Johnny, thank you so much for speaking with me today on the PR Playbook Podcast.
Thank you. Great to be here. I'm a big fan.
Thank you. From our pre-call, it's pretty clear that you at Scale Health do a number of different things to support startups. So I noticed you were more like a collaborative co-working and networking space. So it's a whole ecosystem of people that do quite a bit of things. You know, I like to boil down the podcast into actionable tips for the listeners. So knowing the right questions, I think, is really important. It's kind of like an interview. You know, you don't go in to a interview without your own questions to ask them. And I think it's really crucial to build like a quality relationship with anyone is to be able to have those questions and, of course, answers to their questions ready. So I thought we could use this time to kind of go over what you thought was valuable, especially when startups are approaching investors. And, you know, obviously, I think a lot of startups that we talk to, they're typically like maybe some of them are super early, like they haven't raised money yet. Some are early stage looking for angel, and some are kind of that Series A stage. So we do have people on each level kind of listening in and tuning in here. So I would love to, you know, get your thoughts on a lot of this and kind of figure out what you think about, you know, the process of starting to raise funds and the questions that, you know, these startups should be answering and asking when they go into an investor meeting.
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. I think the first approach usually is, you know, how much you're really looking to raise, right? And knowing your audience and knowing how much, you know, their fund is, how big the check size is, and approaching that methodically, right? I mean, you obviously don't want to be going, you know, if you're an ideation startup, you don't want to be going to approach, you know, Andreessen Horowitz when you don't have traction, you're not post revenue. And at the same time, if you're a growth stage company that has raised, you know, a B round, or C or D, you know, you don't want to be hitting up, you know, angel investors that are only writing like 10, 5, 10, 15, $20,000 checks, right? And then, you know, I think another thing that's really important too is trying to pick investors that can be strategic investors that can help you along with, you know, your growth and your scalability. That helps tremendously later on.
You know, I think, you know, you're just kind of touching on something, but it's picking strategic investors. I think sometimes, you know, people get so overwhelmed, especially when they're early fundraising, right? If you're just starting the process, you get some interest and you're getting really excited. I feel like a lot of people kind of just get excited of the fact that someone's willing to give them money that they kind of overlook to ask themselves some of these critical questions of how the relationship's going to play out in the future. Is there some kind of like check you could do with yourself, or is there like something that you can do to kind of check yourself before you get into those kinds of relationships that may or may not be helpful to you?
Totally. I think, you know, talking personally, I think it's trying to figure out, I mean, not necessarily how desperate you are, but how eager you are to kind of get the business going, right? And how much traction you have and what you want to get done, whether it's building out the team, getting pilots going, building out the MVP. Right. But yeah, you're right. I mean, when people, especially in the beginning, you're so excited that someone's going to give you a $5,000 check. You're like, what do I do with this? I'll just take it. Yeah. And then you don't think about, you know, you don't think about where it's coming from, you know, what the terms are. Are they asking for your firstborn or whatnot? Right. They're just like, yeah, I'll just take it. And then you're like, oh, shoot. You think later back, like, that person wasn't even accredited. Right. And that's another thing to be thinking about is that, you know, the investment money, especially for early stage, you know, first time entrepreneurs, that the investment money you're taking should be from an accredited investor as well. right? And that'll help you later on. It just really depends on how eager you want to get this going. Do you need to move on to now? Can you really build it out and really build out the company? I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the other question that I would have is, yeah, you threw out the number 5,000. I think you're just giving an example, but what if it's someone who's willing to give you 50,000? You know, like that's a different amount of money. And I think that could easily be overwhelming for somebody who's just fundraising. Maybe you can give me, kind of walk me through the different categories of fundraising. I know typically there's like friends and family, there's like angel rounds, and then there's series. And I don't know if there's something in between of those, but like what are the, and I know it obviously depends on the type of business that you're in and how much money you're going to need, but what are the typical, like, I guess, stages of investment, if you don't mind?
Yeah, no, definitely. My approach usually is I would definitely try to, you know, look within myself, try to fund it myself, bootstrap, as you know, right, everyone's saying. And I always say, if I got a dime for every time I heard bootstrap, I'd be a rich man. But, you know, you bootstrap it yourself. And that's where, you know, if it starts getting, you know, low on the funds, then you start, you know, I would say planting the seeds with your friends and family and seeing who might be able to invest. And you know, they're really investing into you and not really, you know, the technology.
Right.
Or, you know, and they want to believe in you and want to keep things going and hope that you'll provide a return.
Do you find that investment, obviously depends on how wealthy the people you know are, but do you find that friends and family rounds are typically around a certain size? Like, are they around 100,000, around 200,000? Like, where do you see most friends and family rounds like fall under?
It really depends on you know, your network and your friends and family. Yeah. Right? I mean, if you're the Kardashians, I mean, I'm sure your friends and family.
That's all you need.
It'd be a drop in the bucket, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it really depends on your friends and your network. But, you know, I typically see friends and family, you know, rounds being around, you know, the low six figures, from 100K to, you know, 350.
Yeah.
Right? And as much as, you know, 500K. Right. Mm-hmm. But that's obviously on the higher end, just
sure,
because, you know, they have wealthy, you know, a wealthy uncle that can really just kick down some money to them.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, I think that's really interesting, because I feel like a angel investor could probably be in that same category too. If, you know, 50 to 500, does that sound right?
No, totally. Yeah. So again, what I was trying to say before was, you know, I would look to myself to kind of bootstrap it, and then, you know, yeah, look to friends and family to add to that. And then once, you know, as you're kind of going down this path of building out your company, you're networking, you're talking to different, you know, either, you know, angel investors or syndicate angel investor networks, like, you know, Tech Coast Angels or, you know, companies similar to those, right? And talking to them. And then I would, in the beginning, I would try to stay away from, you know, institutional funds, just because it's a little bit harder. Because if you're an early stage company, they want to see more traction. They want to see more data. They want to see that you have, you know, a team built out. Do you have an MVP? And really, you know, how executable your idea is or your product is, right?
Well, can you talk a little bit more about that? Like, okay, let's say we're getting closer to a Series A. We're getting closer to an institutional investor. What does that look like? What are the proof points that I should really make sure that I have before approaching them, so that I'm not wasting anyone's time, I'm not wasting my own time? What does that look like?
I think for me, it's more of, you know, as I'm, you know, as I've already raised my seed round from friends and family, and I'm mm-hmm. kind of going down this path of building out the company, I'm already kind of networking with, you know, institutional funds and investors and kind of planting the seed with them with what I'm working on.
Right.
And I'll use that as kind of a litmus test when they want to reach back out to me and they want to keep in touch with me with, you know, what I'm working on, how I'm getting traction, what I'm doing, who I'm talking with. And then from there, you know, try to be strategic with who, you know, I'm getting money from, right? Whether it's, you know, WaveMaker 360 or, you know, the Tech Coast Angel Group, or it just runs a gamut, right? But really, it's like, as you're building out your company, you're still want to keep a pulse on these other companies and your networking, right? It's mm-hmm. it's that dang N word that we all hate, but network, and just, you know, meet people that can, you know, help, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, what do you think, and when we are networking, when we're raising funds, when we're kind of going through this process, I mean, I feel like it is like kind of like a hustle and bustle kind of time frame totally of is. Your startup. Yeah. Are there any things that you should like be wary of or watch out for? Because I feel like also it could be a time where people get taken advantage of. What do you think? Are there anything like warning signs or anything that can protect people during this time frame too?
Yeah, I would say common sense.
Yeah.
In the sense that, you know, if it's too good to be true, don't you know, take a step back and don't do it.
Yes. Right?
I think, you know, as any kind of savvy person would know, you're building out your company, you're talking to different people, and even being a part of Scale Health, mm-hmm. right? We'll help you kind of guide you through that process and make sure we introduce you to the right investors that are vetted, that aren't just kind of a fly-by-night company, right? But also, you know, making sure that the money that you're taking, again, is from a credit investor, even though that, you know, that process is kind of, you know, loose anyways. I mean, mm-hmm. anyone can be kind of an accredited investor, but, you know, making sure that these checkpoints and these things are done and completed. Mm-hmm. But just being careful and just, you know, not just accepting any money amount, any dollar amount that's being sent and given to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Being picky about
totally
following your gut, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, common sense, right? It's like if a company came up to you and said, I want to give you $1 million. And you're like, I'm a month into this. Something fishy is going on. Or you receive an email from someone from Africa or, you know, and then they're like, oh, I saw what you're doing on LinkedIn. And, you know, if you give me a little bit of, you know, some of your seed money and, you know, we'll
I invest. Can help you.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, really?
Do they have scams like that, huh?
There is. I one of our startups kind of brought that to me the other day saying, hey, does this look good to you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? This is totally, you don't even know this person. It's totally unsolicited.
Yeah.
It's like, what is going, I'm like, stop, go back to do what you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't think about this. We'll find the money later on, but not from this person. Do you know
who
even is, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you mentioned networking, you mentioned really like following your gut, and you also mentioned community and Scale Health. So I would love to like, just maybe take a moment, just talk about what you guys do and like, how can startups choose a community similar to the like ecosystem of Scale Health, which is a little bit different than most like programs where, you know, startups are a part of? Like, how can startups select like an environment or an ecosystem that is right for them that will help support them in all these different areas, whether it's creating their pitch deck or, you know, like you said, connecting them to investors or giving them the right kind of advice? Because I do feel like people might go down, like you think, you know, you're going in a right direction with some companies or groups, and maybe they're just taking your money, or maybe it's just like not a right fit. I mean, I'm not putting them in this category, but I've worked with many startups and that are in the 500 startups group that worked with Galvanize in San Francisco. So there's like so many different options of different communities you could be a part of. How do you select the right one is the question that I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think, again, talking from personal experience is more of, you know, you can't go in it alone, right? Mm-hmm. You need a sounding board to be able to bounce ideas off of. And this kind of goes back to that old adage of, you know, it takes a village to raise a child, and it takes a community to kind of really get a startup going.
Yeah.
You know, Taylor, our CEO, and myself, we'll be the first to say that we don't have a healthcare background, but, you know, where what our common denominator is that, you know, we're founders, and we'll be the first to say that we wouldn't have been so successful with our startup previously if it had not been for, you know, the angels, not angel investors, but the angels, the people that helped us out of the goodness of their hearts to kind of guide us along the way. And that's where we come in, right? Scale Health, we provide like a community of vetted, you know, service providers, consultants, you know, VCs, angel investors, and also, you know, the community itself, where, you know, these are all founders that have gone through the trials and tribulations together, and they'll use each other as a sounding board to ask questions of, hey, what did you do in this situation? Or how did you do this? Or I'm looking for this, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, being there for one another, because at the end of the day, it's, you know, having a startup is hard. Right.
Yeah.
And we never know when we're going to do the right thing or when we're not going to do the right thing, and asking each other and not being afraid to ask questions, because, you know, at the end of the day, we know we're going to make a lot of mistakes, We just try to make sure that we mitigate those mistakes as much as we can to you know, not feel the burn so bad.
I mean, I think it is really important to have like a supportive community, and I'm a part of several different like startup communities just, you know, for that purpose. You know, obviously my expertise is in like crowdfunding and PR and marketing. So I kind of cover those areas for a lot of these startup companies, but I think, you know, the fundraising portion obviously is of interest to me. If I can help guide people in the right direction, I've, you know, met a few of these Tech Coast angels. I've met several investor groups, and it's really, sometimes I don't even know if I should be connecting them. So it's a really like very confusing dynamic. So it's really nice to have a community of people to talk to that either have done it before or have been through something or made a mistake. I think it's easier to even learn from their mistakes than when they've been successful, you know?
Totally. And you bring up a good point too, because, you know, what we do here at Scale Health is, you know, we give tools to our startups in the sense that we give them access to our portal. And then with access to the portal, you have access to what we call the Scale Architect, right? And what our Scale Architect was created to do was to allow for us to understand where the startups are at in their life cycle, whether they're early stage ideation or growth stage company. And then from there, we understand, because timing is key, we understand when and who we need to introduce these startups or these companies to, right? Whether it's the Tech Coast Angels or whether it's Upfront Ventures or whether it's connecting with MLK Community Hospital or St. Joe's, Providence, right? You know, timing is key, because if we don't understand where they're at, then we can make a misstep and introduce them to a later stage, you know, company that needs more traction, and that could blow that relationship. Right. Sure. So timing is huge. Yeah. So that's where we, you know, really, you know, help our companies bring it home.
You know, that actually is a really nice question that you ended up actually bringing up unknowingly, but you mentioned early stage ideation and growth stage. So what are though like common introductions in each stage?
Yeah. So, you know, for early stage ideation companies, it's more of like, well, you have an idea that's maybe, you know, still in your head behind the napkin. You want to flush it out, right? If it's a viable idea, we'll definitely take you in, because I vet every company coming in to make sure that, you know, they have a viable idea. We don't want to just take your money and run, right? If you have some bonkers idea and it hasn't, you know, no way in heck to survive, then, you know, I'll just tell you up front, or we just won't let you in. But if there's a chance where we can help guide you and help kind of, you know, flush out some of these ideas and help get you connected with our investors or not investors, but our consultants or our advisors, we will definitely do that. And then, you know, for ideation companies, really, you know, flushing out these ideas, putting it on pen to paper, building out a deck. You don't have to really do the whole business model just yet or business plan just yet, because that's a lot, you know, that's a lot more in-depth and thorough. I would say kind of, you know, use a community, talk to people, build up the deck, try to build up the MVP, and then kind of go from there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, for growth stage companies, they're, you know, they've hit a certain point where, you know, they've maybe raised their B round at, you know, 10, 20, 30 million. And they've kind of hit a ceiling and they need a different network that, you know, we offer that they're not tapped into yet. So that's why they join.
Sure.
Right. And we're able to connect them to other, you know, hospital systems or, you know, pharma companies that they otherwise would have to kind of cold call or cold email.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
At the end of the day,
you know, especially in the health industry, it's a lot more difficult to do cold discussions. They really want a referral or reference from somebody.
Like a lot of things in life, it's about, you know, who you know and not what you know, right? And, you know, we do a lot of the heavy lifting for a lot of our companies prior to, right? Because again, you know, Taylor and myself and the rest of the team, we don't have a very strong healthcare background, but, you know, we've kind of gone the way of building out our kind of steering committee, you know, our investor, our advisor group with healthcare professionals, thought leaders, that are vetted, that have seasoned experience in healthcare that can really help us.
Right.
And at the end of the day, help our members.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's awesome. I can ask you like 5,000 more questions. So I want to keep it really actionable and really specific. So I would love to like kind of leave off here with like one critical, if it has to be two, then that's fine. But one critical tip you can give to companies that are starting to fundraise, what would be that piece of advice that you would give them?
I'll probably put it into one, two, maybe. One is, I mean, really have your elevator pitch down and make it, you know, interesting but concise, right? So it grabs their attention. And two, it's knowing the VC or the institutional funds or angel investor you're approaching, right? So those two main things, grab their interest, grab their attention, and then know who you're approaching. Because at the end of the day, if you're a SaaS company that and you're trying to approach like a VC or angel, you know, investor group that is more into hardware, then that wouldn't work.
You're wasting your time.
Exactly. Yeah. You're wasting your time and you'll just look silly and word spreads. Right. Yeah. So it's those two main things I would say, right? So, I mean, from your elevator pitch, it's having your idea down packed and not kind of going off on the tangent, because I've seen so many
yes.
that they'll start off and it'll just ramble on. And it's like, and I'll roll my eyes and I'm like, oh my God, did we just do this? You know, it's like they have to kind of keep it concise because, you know, at the end of the day, these investor groups or VCs see so many deals, and if it's not interesting, if it doesn't grab their attention, if it's not what they're into, mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, SaaS or hardware or patient engagement or mental health, you know, if it's not in their wheelhouse, then it's just you're wasting their time.
Sure. Right? Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. Thank you.
We laugh, but it's true.
Yeah.
It's
so no, true. Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a ton of other questions and one that I actually forgot, but we will definitely have to follow up in a live webinar where we can kind of do some fire round questions with some live feedback.
Totally.
So, okay, cool. So thank you so much. I think we've gotten a lot of content here, especially for people who are raising funds or trying to get started or getting their foot in the door or moving on to the next round of funding. I think it's really important to follow the tips that Johnny has given us here. So thank you so much for participating in the PR Playbook podcast today. Johnny, also, can you give us a little like note on where people can find you?
Sure. So, you know, if you have any questions, you can kind of go on our website, scalehealth.com. I'm always accessible at johnny@scalehealth.com. And then Twitter is JL_scalehealth. IG is JL.scalehealth. And then I'm always around. So,
all right, cool. And I think LinkedIn, we could probably find you on LinkedIn too.
Exactly.
I will make sure to put all those notes in our show notes so you guys can access them. But thank you again, Johnny, for joining me today. As always, we appreciate any show feedback, questions. If you have a question for Johnny, can't seem to find him anywhere, you can email us at podcast@thesilvertelegram.com or contact us through the website at www.thesilvertelegram.com. Thank you for listening today. Stay safe and keep innovating.